Hey everyone, time for a dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch, welcome back to The Stash.
Great to be on the show.
Well, we don't have a particular brand new study to talk about today, but we wanted to cover a subject that gets a lot of inquiries here at the Daily Audio Stash, and I'm sure, Dr. Earlywine, you get a lot of inquiries too, and that would be the subject of drug testing, and specifically, you know, testing for cannabis. And let's just talk a little bit about that and what the average cannabis user is facing out there in the workplace, in school, and so on.
Quite a bit of drug testing pre-employment, and then we've talked about it before, but it seems to be getting more rampant also, this drug testing in the schools. I've been really unimpressed with the data on drug testing in the schools. It does not seem to lead to decreased use. Schools that test don't seem to have more problems with drugs than schools that do, and I really feel like in some ways it sets a bad tone and seems kind of unfair. We've mentioned before, too, often the folks who get tested are the folks who want to get involved in extracurricular activities, and we have data suggesting that involvement in extracurricular activities actually buffers folks against drug problems. So it seems like a really counterproductive habit, but one that seems to be really catching on in kind of scary ways.
Yeah, it seems to me, you know, they want to drug test the kids that would want to get into football, and actually it's not just sports. They've expanded it to any competitive extracurricular activity. So we could be talking about chess club or the drama club. It's just ridiculous.
It really is sad, and it's just an unfair way, and sets kind of a strange tone, particularly at an age when adolescents are already having enough problems with authority.
No kidding.
I'm often emailed about both urine tests and hair tests, and the components of each are really different, and unfortunately the folklore around them also is sometimes pretty strangely inaccurate. The data on employment stuff suggests that there are companies where they do drug tests, and they say, look, these companies actually do have lower rates of drug use. And I've been looking really closely at that, and it is true, but it's often a culture at that industry or at that individual company that would make drug users not want to work there anyway. It's often a rather conservative business or a conservative setting, a lot of, you know, putting on a tie and having lots of meetings and things like that, where folks may be turned away. But a close look also shows that these are also companies that often offer a lot of drug-related help or a lot of prevention of drug problem treatment programs and things like that. So I think it may not be the testing so much as the atmosphere there that's contributing to that. So I don't want to make too big a deal out of that for the employers who are listening. And clearly it's not, it's just not the best environment as far as some things are concerned. And then there are certain industries, particularly in certain locations, where if they do drug tests, it makes it impossible for them to hire the best of the best. And I think that's kind of an intriguing laugh.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've seen that, you know, in my own personal experience of working in lots of different industries, that when you start looking at the creative industries and the restaurant industry and those type of industries, we do tend to have less drug testing and more of a accepting culture, at least of marijuana. I was wondering if you'd noticed the same thing.
Very much so, and I want to turn to the idea of, you know, let's test for doing a good job when you're on the job. Let's focus on the things that really matter rather than some kind of pre-employment arrangement where you just want to see if somebody's a drug user before you even hire them. Sarah Smucker Barnwell and I wrote a chapter on this in Pot Politics and pointed out that, in fact, it doesn't seem to add to efficiency, and the testing procedure itself, particularly on the job, takes time away from the job. How can you be, you know, writing code or getting good work done if you're in the bathroom with some guy looking over your shoulder while you pee? It's obviously a mixed blessing. When I talked to some employers about this, they said, look, I just don't want to be around that kind of person. And I'm thinking, I feel like the stereotypes around kinds of person are obviously, you know, really out of whack. And then what if somebody is just not a good worker but happens to use alcohol excessively or something like that? It seems a rather backward approach to the whole employment situation.
Is there any data out there showing that these drug testing in the employment does any good, that there's any change in productivity or absenteeism or sick leave or health care or anything like that?
No, in fact, there are no links in amount of sick days and job turnover and things like that. Among cannabis users in particular, no increase in accidents or anything along those lines. And the funny thing is then there's at least one study that suggests in the computer industry you actually lose time. You end up decreasing productivity because of the time spent doing the drug test. And then the other questions I get, of course, are how do I beat this? How do I get around this? There are a number of products that I know, you know, people see for sale all over the place. As far as urine screens are concerned, the biggest contributor seems to be the amount of water consumed. So as silly as it sounds, the more water you run through your system, the fewer metabolites of anything are left, and that seems to be the way to do it. People have talked about, well, they're going to measure my creatine, and should I take some, and all these other things. And it's funny how the drug testing industry and the beating drug testing industry are sort of in this battle with each other. So far, it looks like the rules that you can really follow are consume a lot of water until the day before the test, and then make sure you don't give the very first urine of the day, which seems to have, after you've been asleep all night, a whole lot of metabolites in it. I invariably will get, individuals who say, I used such and such, or I drank a big bottle of vinegar, or, something wild like that. And often the real deciding factor is just the amount of fluid consumed.
You know, I faced a urine test one time like that, and is about the same time that I was taking martial arts training, and I was really into my health at that time. And one of the things they always tell you is to drink a lot of water for your health. It's like 8 glasses of water per day. I was working out so much that I was probably up to about 12 glasses of water. And when I went to take the test, they said, well, sorry, your urine is too dilute. There's too much water in it. It's too dilute. And my response to that was, well, this is what the health people tell me I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to drink lots of water. It seems that this drug testing thing is against our own health.
Well, and then so in order to have a valid test, you basically have to do something unhealthy for yourself.
Yeah, that's
to make that happen. It just seems you're always guilty until proven innocent under the circumstances, and it's just kind of a shame.
Yeah. Now, speaking of some of these products, we talked about the drug testing products or to try to beat the tests, but now another thing we're finding, especially when we talk about parents and kids, are these home drug testing kits that they're trying to market to parents to test their kids at home, and I understand there's a lot of opposition to this within the scientific community.
Yeah, unfortunately, the urine screens that are for sale to individuals claim certain accuracy rates, but don't have a ton of support for how accurate that is. As you might guess, I talk about this in the Parents Guide to Marijuana. I feel like it's just such a crazy statement about your relationship with your child. And I understand, people have some troubled relationships with adolescents or things like that, and they want to be more trusting. It turns into this wild authority situation where they just try to beat the test with you rather than be candid with you. I think a lot of times what we need to find out is, what do I really want to know? Am I concerned about use here, or being right, or being the boss, or something like that? And under those circumstances, do I trust these, $4 little urine screens? And if it does show up positive, am I willing to entertain the idea that it's a false positive? And having this conversation one-on-one, particularly with your teen, could be a lot more productive than any information you get from the test themselves. Invariably, I'll get emails saying I'm naive and you don't understand and it's a disease and things along those lines. But would this contribute to your relationship with your child or not? And that's really the bottom line. And sharing the dilemma with your child. Look, I don't really want to do this drug testing. I'm not interested in your pee, but I want you to be healthy. Let's talk about a way that we can each agree that things are going well and say that things are okay. And it's funny how that conversation can sometimes mean a lot more than the test itself.
Yeah, it seems to me that if you're having trust issues with your adolescent, the last thing you need to do is to create more trust issues through the use of some sort of testing regime.
The other issue is that the shampoos and for the hair testing that people email me a lot. And the hair testing is a different situation from the urine screens because, some of the hair on your head has been there longer and we're in situations that are different. The shampoos do seem to decrease the concentration of metabolites in the hair, although sometimes not to undetectable levels. So doing it just one time may not be enough to make it happen. The other thing, and this is just a product of the chemicals themselves, darker, curlier hair seems to hold on to the metabolites better, even in response to the shampoo. And of course, who are the people who have the darkest or the curliest hair? Often members of non-white ethnic groups. What a shame that we end up with this kind of bias chemically under these circumstances. It really is kind of a drag.
Yeah, to add to all the other biases that people of color have to go through in this drug war, that's for sure.
Exactly.
What do you think of the notion about how drug testing for marijuana in particular might lead to an incentive to try other drugs that are more dangerous but less likely to be tested for or detected?
It's rather unfortunate because I've seen this consistently, particularly with clients who are on probation. So they say, look, I can't get high, I can't smoke marijuana because it'll be detected, so I'm just going to do a quarter hit of acid every day.
Mm.
And I'm thinking this is just a horrid situation where you're essentially, you know, not that hallucinogens have these outrageous negative consequences, but it's hard to function on a quarter hit of acid every day. You know, this is essentially going to turn into a really maladaptive behavior simply because of some of the flukes of these drug tests. And boy, what a waste of resources. The other thing that comes up is people often ask me, you know, if I'm in the same room as people who are getting high, will that have an impact, and can I make that argument? As far as the urine screens go, it's probably unlikely that you got a positive urine screen because you were in the room when other people were smoking. However, if people are smoking and the smoke actually does get in your hair, that can create a false positive. So I hate to say it, but, you know, stay away from people who are smoking if you're going to be subject to a hair test, and definitely shampoo as much as you can.
Mm. Well, it's quite a subject. A lot we could talk about on drug testing. Is there anything else you want to address before we call it a day?
I know it's easy for me to say because of my position and things like that, but I'm hoping that people will consider the idea that there are situations where they just won't do this. If we are all unwilling to do this as a pre-employment thing, for example, if nobody will agree to that, well, they'll have nobody to hire. And I, you know, I'm not saying anybody needs to go on unemployment to avoid this or something like that, but this is something that I think it's worth considering, is turning down these places that want to drug test us in order to say, no, you know, that's not what's important. What's really important is my performance. Let's focus on that.
Yeah, I turned down quite an IT career to be here talking to you today. It all worked out in the long run for me. It can work out for you too. Dr. Earlywine, thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Great to be on the show.